Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I was a little nervous there. Hour two.
Nah, we're good. We're good.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We'll get to your phone calls, 617-779-7937. We have a lot to get to here on the show.
It's game night.
It's
game night.
Big day out there. Game's on Prime. You're not excited about it, Keefe.
I don't care for the Prime game.
You're excited for the game.
Yeah, I'm really excited for the game.
You're not excited for the announcer duo.
Herb Street?
Yeah.
Nah. Less so.
Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. You know what I got yesterday when I got to? I went to the store. Brag.
Oh.
Picked up some pumpkin beers. So I'm going to enjoy some pumpkin beers tonight while I watch the game. My first pumpkin beers of the year. I've held off to this point, which is pretty impressive for me.
What happened? The drop in temp, you said?
No, I've just been drinking other beers. Oh, no. Yeah, that's why. No, because it's more fall.
It feels like fall out there.
Today's not going to hit 80.
So for you, it's not a date on the calendar.
Yeah,
it's a change in the temperature.
Yeah, I usually try to wait till September. Uh-huh. And then even then, but we've got a lot of hot days in September.
Try to wait till September.
For October beers?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's just at an Oktoberfest. They do it. Everything's a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Right? So anyway, sure. I just got some pumpkin beers. I can't wait to slam those puppies down. I'm going to wait till 8:15, though, so I can have them during the game.
Those are usually a high alcohol count, right?
Yeah, this one is. It's like 8.6.
Oh, man.
It's aggressive.
Yeah, I can't.
But they only come in a 4-pack. Yeah. I mean, how drunk can you get?
Yeah, they're looking out for you.
Tune in to find out.
They are.
Well, I'm going to be home. I'm going to be sitting on my couch just having a nice time.
Yeah.
You know? No one's going to be bothering me.
Yeah, I'm just going to be yelling at the other people in my house. Don't worry about it.
I'm going to be yelling at Ramondre Stevenson and Henry in my fantasy lineup.
We were discussing, you got a lot riding on this tonight.
Huge game.
In your fantasy matchup.
And I also think the Pats cover. Like, it's 6.5, depending on where you're shopping out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised they have that much faith. They, being the odds makers, that New York is looking that good. Like, they can just roll out there and win by a touchdown. I think it's going to be closer.
Pat's covering but not winning is how you see it going.
So tonight, I am threading that needle. I know you called it cheap or weaselly. I think weaselly is what you said.
I believe the direct quote was weaselly, yes.
Yeah. I told you about when I had ermines in my shed, right?
I've heard about that.
Kind of like a weasel.
What's going on with that shed? Bees?
It's
ermines?
Dude, it's like woodland critters out there.
Yeah,
it's
what's
insane.
Up with that?
There's bunnies. We've had fox out there before. I saw a deer once jump clean over my fence.
What were they called on South Park, Billy? They were the woodland creatures.
Yeah, it was the woodland creatures.
Yeah, the woodland creatures.
I have those guys. They all got like chainsaws and like knives and everything else. They're all back there.
Ermine? Or ermines?
We had two ermines. They left, though.
But I'm saying, is it plural? Is the plural ermine? Like deer?
What do you think it would be?
Is it ermine?
Oh, just ermines same?
Ermine or ermines is what I'm asking.
No, ermines.
Deer.
Deers. I think, are you saying moose? Meese? So anyway, yeah, there's a lot of stuff back there. But yeah, you told me it was weaselly, but it's not like a 3-point spread. I'm like, they're going to win by one.
It was like, ermine-like is what it was.
It was a little bit. That's what my mind went. But 6.5, because I was thinking like, any kind of like prediction, like what do you think it's going to be? I think they might get just the under. So it's 38.5, I think, is the total, which was the exact same total as it was against Seattle.
It was looking like it was going to blow out the over last week. It did go over, but it took a while.
It did.
Hit the over, yeah.
I think like 20-17, somewhere in there,
okay,
where the Jets win, Patriots play another competitive game, and then we're left tomorrow talking about, like, is Drake May next week? When are we going to get Drake May? Like, how much of it is on Percet? Is any of it? None of it? Like,
I mean,
I think that's what it's going
to
be.
A road game and the Niners, probably not an ideal time to play Drake May, but 10 days leading into a game might not be a bad spot. 37937. Guys, this is Chuck from Holbrook. I like when people sign their text.
Oh, that's helpful. Rather than like reading their area code.
Yeah.
Yes, throw your name in there.
Hey, guys. Chuck from Holbrook.
What's up, Chuck?
What's up, Chuck? What are your thoughts on Caden Wallace starting at left tackle tonight? We haven't talked about this a ton.
Good question.
The offensive line is banged up. Now, look, if it's Vidarian Lowe, if it's the now AWOL Chukwuma Okorafor, if it's Caden Wallace, I don't think it's... You're talking like you have, Tony Boselli out there.
You don't have Orlando Pace.
No, Jonathan Ogden.
You're not counting pancakes right now.
And so I don't really think it's great no matter what, but Caden Wallace is your third left tackle in three games. Your third starting left tackle in three games. It was Chukwuma Okorafor.
It's
got
to be a
one,
new record.
Made it 12 snaps. He's out.
At least tied a record.
Yeah, it's got to at least tie it.
Yeah.
Then you had last week Vidarian Lowe. Now you have Caden Wallace. So is that a reason to not feel great about the Patriots? Sure.
I mean, I think we already were not feeling great about the offensive line as it was. And I think, to your point, like, you can throw a new name out there and, like, it never went from a strength to a weakness. It was always sort of, like, teetering on becoming a major issue. Jacoby Brissett's gotten pounded in the first two games. He's gotten hit on, like, half his dropbacks, it feels like.
Right.
So,
but isn't it still better than you expected it to be?
It is.
So
it's a little bit better. It's a little bit better.
In a weird way, I kind of trust the coaching staff on the O-line.
But also how much... Can you keep going to like the next guy to the next guy?
Well,
to the next
fine,
guy?
But I kind of trust them, and it looks better than I thought. It's not been great. I don't mean to overstate it, but the issue is in their personnel, which is an Elliott Wolf thing.
Yeah,
the way the coaches have gotten by with what they have, I actually think the coaching staff has done an okay job.
Yeah, not to get too into the O-line stuff, but Elliott Wolf didn't do anything really in free agency outside of Okorafor, who left. Packed his things and took off.
It's good signing.
Took his ball, went home.
Good plan at left tackle.
But in the draft, you know, obviously they go QB, wide receiver. But then the third round is when they took Caden Wallace, and the talk about him was he was actually the right tackle at Penn State, and everyone was saying, even at right, he's not even ready to be a right tackle in year one.
Don't
so it's
that.
Like, how about this? Week three, start him at left tackle. So, like, I get why there are concerns about that because I forget the dude's name, but the left tackle at Penn State was a high pick. He was a first-round pick. He was a stud.
Olu Fashanu.
Thank you. So he didn't play on the left tackle, and you're like, all right, well, he didn't play on the left side because they had a real stud over there. But, yeah, by all accounts, when we were doing, like, the post-draft breakdown, it was, hey, that's a guy that, you know, he could really benefit from learning for a whole year. And he's a right tackle. So there's a little bit of that. But then they drafted Laydon Robinson in the fourth round.
Yep.
And they've already thrown him in there, and he seems to be all right.
He's been great.
Which, is once again, goes back to how maddening the Cole Strange pick was. Because how many times has Belichick...
Have you heard people starting to ask about him, by the way? They're like, where is Cole Strange? I'm like, who cares?
Don't care.
Hopefully he's hanging out with Okorafor.
Yeah, fine. Those guys can go on like a nice buddy road trip movie.
Yeah,
go
seriously.
Ahead. Go see the country. No, like Robinson in the fourth round, Onwenu in the sixth, Stephen Neal, like back in the day, off the wrestling mat. Like you can find a guard almost anywhere.
And specifically Bill could find guards.
Bill could find guards with the best of them. And who knows? Maybe Elliott Wolf found something in Laydon Robinson, and that'd be great. Like City So is more likely to play again than Cole Strange.
Yeah.
And that's another guy, late round guy that can play.
Yeah.
So no, their issue is tackle. Maybe Caden Wallace can do it, but I'm, not going to hold my breath on that.
So I have the Pats winning tonight. Keith has them covering. What do you guys think for the game? All your thoughts. 617-779-7937. You can also text us 37937. I like this. More signed texts mixed in with the unsigned ones.
I like it.
Mr. Chiggs on Twitter.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
He's got Jets big.
I'm familiar with his work. Jets by 13 plus. That's an alternate line for you there, Keith.
That is. Yeah.
O-line is going to kill Jacoby. And if they do,
well, then you get Drake May.
Maybe we'll see some Drake May.
You get Drake May.
So scoring is down in the NFL.
Yeah.
I was amused by Mel Kiper today on Get Up. So let's get to this here. I'm reading from Steve Palazzo, Pro Football Focus. He has NFL passing touchdowns going back to 2019 through 2 weeks. Okay.
Okay.
This is just the total count. In 2019, it was 61. 2020, 52. 2021, 61. 2022-51. So you're good for, like, you know, 50 to 60
or one touchdowns.
Passing touchdowns each year.
Okay.
Last year it dropped to 37.
Huh?
This year it was 36, counting Monday Night Football. So
the last 2 years it's kind of fallen off pretty steeply.
Yeah, and there's a couple of theories as to why. I mean, one is the preseason now is it's only three games. Offenses aren't ready to go. Some of these quarterbacks aren't ready to go.
Defense is ahead of the offense.
Well, there's that, but there's also quarterbacks barely even play in the preseason anymore. It's not even like defense is ahead of the offense. It's like teams just punt on the preseason.
Okay.
So that's one theory. Hmm. The other, and you hear this all the time with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, are the two high safeties that are all the rage throughout the NFL. Two high safeties. Safeties get back. Limit the big plays. You need to put together 8, 9, 10, 12 plays to chip down the field. We're not going to let you hit the big play.
Oh, so you're telling me the defense had a strategy to slow down the high passing offenses? Okay.
And apparently Mel Kiper has not just an issue with this. A lot of people have an issue with the too high safety.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Mel Kiper wants it outlawed.
Outlawed?
Well, let's hear what he had to say this morning on Get Up.
Well, I grew up with the best of the National Football League, 60s, 70s, into the 80s. You're talking about deep shit.
Wrong. I'm not even that young, so I'm not to be like the young guy that everything's better now.
60s, 70s, 80s was the best of football?
No.
Okay, well, let's just hear some of the names.
I don't think it was, Jones.
Okay, let's hear some of the names.
All right, okay.
Yeah, let's hear them out.
70s into the 80s, you're talking about deep shots, right? The go route, the nine route post.
I like that.
You're talking about Terry Bradshaw in a Super Bowl hitting John Stallworth. You see Leroy Irvin diving, right? Just off his fingertips, the receiver. They laid it out there, right? Hit the receiver in stride. 65-yard touchdown. It's a beautiful thing to watch. That's what I want to see brought back to the National Football League.
Hold on a second. Stop for a second. Down.
Yeah.
Justin Jefferson had a 97-yard touchdown catch last week.
Yeah, just last week.
Justin Jefferson.
DK Metcalf had a 56-yard touchdown catch.
Both
coverage.
If those guys played in the 70s, just the look at them, the speed, the size, the strength of those guys, they would quit. Everybody else would stop playing.
Can I ask a question? Who's Leroy Irvin? Didn't we used to work
with... He made a diving catch.
Didn't we used to work with Leroy Irvin, Billy? Like, who is Leroy Irvin?
Yeah, Leroy Irvin's at the other station.
Yeah, that's who he's talking about.
Is that who he's talking about?
He made a diving catch.
I know Terry Bradshaw. Who else is he
this
talking about?
This is a bizarre, out-of-left-field take from Mel, and I like Mel.
Ron Kramer. What? Who? Ron Kramer!
Mad Dog's there.
Mad Dog.
So he's just, you know what he's doing?
Someone Mad Dog is nodding his head. Yeah.
He's like, Mad Dog likes this.
Okay. Let's hear him out, though. He's not there.
Okay. Check down kings, bubble screen sensations, boring football. Game manager, I get it, but I want to see those deep shots. That's what the NFL was built on. I grew up with John Unitas, Fran Tarkington, Ken Stabler, Daryl LaMonica.
You
talk about quarterbacks.
Keep going.
Joe Namath. It was just right. Brett Favre when he was doing what he did.
Hold on a second. Jones. How old was Brett Favre? When did Brett Favre play?
That was the 90s.
Brett Favre played with Johnny Unitas and Fran Tarkington.
He was losing steam a little bit.
Brett Favre? He doesn't care. You don't get credit for Favre.
He didn't have a flat top.
Look,
No. Remember that game Johnny Unitas played against Brett Favre?
It's that era of quarterback. That's an era. The flat top era of quarterback.
You could set your watch to it on The Simpsons.
So, Keith, you know how it is. You're rolling on a take. You got like a stray one because your brain is a little bit behind your mouth. And you're like,
Brett Favre didn't play in the 80s.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it got away from him a little bit.
60s, 70s, and 80s. Brett Favre, Tom Brady.
I think Kuiper's going to get it back. I have faith he's going to get it back. Yeah.
Burke Jones with the Baltimore Colts.
Burke Jones.
You think about those quarterbacks.
It's not even a team anymore.
The ball down the field. I said what Bradshaw did was Stallworth and Swan.
Yeah, you
Roger
mentioned
Staubach.
That.
That's what I want to see brought back. Say, well, you can't do that, right? Well, you got a 5-yard rule with the cornerbacks, right? The Mel Blount rule, right? Now with the push thing with Hurts, you got to be a yard back now. So don't tell me you can't have those safeties closer to the line of scrimmage than they are. I was at games where I'm thinking, hey, too high? They're out in outer space. I couldn't even find us. They're playing with nine guys, right? Where are the other two? Oh, the other two? They're so daggone far back, and even though they're part of damn play. I'm telling you, we got to change this thing, and we got to have, hey, you can warn them. Enough for, they come up. Hey, guys, you got to get up a little bit, right? You're too far back. Warn those safeties, but you got to figure out competition committee, somebody, Dano, somebody's got to figure out what that depth is, but it's too far back right now. The NFL is being ruined by these too high safeties.
The NFL
that
is ruined by the too high safeties.
Thing. So I love the passion of it.
Oh, like it's great.
That I enjoy.
And I like, again, he's listing names. There's a couple of strays in there. He repeats himself to like double down for effect. Like I've been there. I get it.
So you know who he didn't mention? And he might have wanted to lean into it a little bit more. It was Dan Marino from the 80s.
Yeah, you'd probably want to do
that. If you remove Dan Marino, the first 40 like single season touchdown leaders are all post 1980. Besides Marino, there's a couple of Marino years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So Peyton Manning threw 55 touchdowns in 2013. Tom Brady threw 50 in 07. Mahomes threw 50 in 2018.
His first year as a starter, by the way.
Yeah. 50, 55 touchdowns. They weren't throwing that back in the day.
No.
Terry Bradshaw, I think, barely threw the ball down the field. He remembers one catch from Lynn Swann. Lynn Swann, I remember hearing about Lynn Swann as a kid, and then, like, looked up his numbers. You're like, did they throw to him? They ever throw to him? Like, how is he in the Hall of Fame? And I guess he was great. I'm not taking anything away from him.
He was the Steelers' Pop Douglas.
You're like, did you target him a little bit there, guys?
Do you know that Bradshaw threw two more touchdowns than picks for his career?
I know Namath threw more picks than touchdowns for his career, and Namath was in his
Terry band. Bradshaw never threw 30 touchdowns in a season.
Yeah, look, it was a different league. We all understand that.
No, but what is he talking about? Like, oh, I love guys throwing, deep like, chucking it deep.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
I don't think they were even allowed to do it much back then.
That's why Kuiper's a draft guy. He just likes the combine where guys just huck it.
He's just like, just see how far you can throw it.
Jamarcus Russell from his knees, 80 yards.
Listen,
love that.
I've heard of a lot of, hey, they should change this. They should institute that. Removing the too high safety.
Yeah.
Because there's not enough rules for offense.
No, the safeties
right now
have to be. His rule is, if you didn't make it out there with all of the references, his rule is the safeties have to be within X amount of yards of the line of scrimmage.
So why is it now common for guys to throw for 4,000 or 5,000 yards, but it wasn't before, but it was better a better passing league before?
Well, I didn't think volume would be his answer, but I'm with you. Trust me, I'm with you. I would way rather today's NFL than the 60s.
So today,
Johnny Unitas.
He says it's boring
and
now.
And Burt Jones.
Yeah. I mean, it might be a slow couple of weeks, but I feel like there's at the end of the year, there's going to be a lot of passing touchdowns.
Okay, so Mel Kiper's plan to save the NFL, outlaw.
Too high safety.
The too high safety. Get the competition committee on it.
That is like no zone defense in the NBA.
Yeah, correct.
That's sort of like that kind of
thing. Yeah. Get rid of hand checking.
But like, you know, that sort of thing. Everything is pass interference. These guys can't breathe on a receiver now. You can't lay guys out over the middle. And oh, by the way, you can't play that. You can't play like basically a cover two. You can't do it.
Talking about Terry Bradshaw in a Super Bowl hitting John Stallworth. You see Leroy Irvin diving, right? Just off his fingertips.
These are like one plays. These are like one plays.
Diving off his fingertips. Yeah. His fingertips there.
Yeah, he didn't even catch it. That's a good point by Nick. He's referencing plays where he didn't even make the catch. So that's one rule solution for scoring.
He averaged in 9 years in the playoffs, so 19 playoff games, Terry Bradshaw averaged just over 200 yards passing a game.
Over.
200.
Yeah,
over. 201.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers can't even hit 200,
Keith. I take that on the Patriots right
now. Yeah, I take that over Brissett. Thank you. Aaron Rodgers can't even hit 200.
What about Derek Carr and Baker Mayfield? Those guys are slinging it right now.
That's true.
Those guys are ripping it.
So that's one rule.
I thought the argument might be, and this is probably, you could go through it and pick it apart, but are there more rookie quarterbacks starting, and maybe those guys are getting off to slower starts?
No, they haven't. So that is true.
Okay.
Because Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels,
Bo Picks.
Thank you, Bo Picks. They've combined for zero touchdowns. I'd imagine that's not helping.
That's weighing it down a little bit.
Okay, but it's not that dissimilar from last year. And so there's a trend to
chop back, do it to the other team.
Yeah,
I didn't click on that second.
You're honest, Pete. You were being honest, Bo. That's all you can be.
So it's interesting. Through 2 weeks, we're already getting rules suggestions. Florio has one, too.
Changing anything.
Okay, well, Florio is saying there's too many 50-yard field goals. He wants to raise the crossbar and narrow the uprights.
Don't tell Joey Sly that. Don't tell the Patriots that. Wait, we're not messing with the crossbar right now.
Well, Florio is.
No, I'm not. The only thing I might
Florio
change.
Wants to change the uprights, and Mel Kiper wants two high safeties out of the league.
It's insane. Back in the middle of the end zone so guys can run into it.
When did it become, like, week three rule changes? Like, that's such an off-season topic.
Well, here's the problem. It's the Patriots and the Jets on Thursday Night Football.
Oh,
and
people are scrambling.
What are we talking about?
No, that's true.
How are we going to hype this thing? Raise the uprights.
Get rid of the forward pass.
Exactly. Like, how are we going to hype this game? No one wants to talk about this stupid game. How are we going to do it? That's how we do it.
Here's my only rule change. Yeah. I know this isn't a segment about rule changes, but the only one I would do is they didn't go far enough. And this is what Al Michaels was losing his mind about a couple weeks ago, and he's actually right. You're not incentivizing the kickoff enough. Everybody's just taking it at the 30. But if you said, all right, it's at the 35 or the 40, I think you'd get more returns. I think they would actually pooch it down to, like, the 1 yard line and get
50.
A return. Yeah, honestly. Like, then you do it.
Opposing team's red zone.
It's a score.
Yeah, no, exactly.
If we don't get a kick return, you get 2 points. That's what they need to do.
That's a good. Now, that's how you incentivize.
No, but, like, or just go back to the way that it was or whatever. But, like, because this, they're like, oh, there's more kick. As the active kickoff, and you're like, I don't know. I've seen a lot of guys just blasting it through the end zone.
Okay. Rule change suggestions from Mel Kiper and Mike Flores. What would you rather have? Outlawed too high safeties or change the uprights? You can jump in. 617-779-7937. We talked about the swing nature of tonight's game. Pats can be 2-1 versus 1-2 with a lot of winnable games, more than we expected, on their schedule. What's the significance tonight? How do you see it shaken out? Keith has the Jets. I have the Pats. Plus, we'll get into Drake May and his timeline.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
As soon as the Patriots lose, as soon as the offense stumbles, you're going to have folks out there clamoring for Drake May. Here's the problem with that. I have a question for you. Do you want Drake May behind an offensive line that has been blitzed all of six times in two games and allowed pressure on 45% of those dropbacks? All dropbacks. Seems hazardous to me. And you could say, oh, Drake May would escape better and he would throw long. And you know what? Yeah, he probably would throw a little bit longer. This dude is a gunslinger. We saw it in North Carolina. The good plays, the bad plays. He's going to chuck it. But through 2 weeks, would he rank 10th in QBR? Would he rank 10th in success rate? Because Jacoby Brissett is. Jacoby Brissett is not losing his mind right now. He's keeping the whole offense together. He's doing an unbelievable job of taking bad situations and not making them worse. Because in the 28 times he's been hit or hurt, he has been sacked just four times. That 14% pressure to sack rate is among the best in the entire league, and it would be in any kind of season. It's a freaking miracle.
Andrew Callahan, Boston Herald, on the Pats Interference podcast.
Very aggressive in favor of Jacoby Brissett.
It's a miracle.
It is a miracle. It's a freaking miracle.
A freaking miracle.
And he's been incredible. So Curran told us he's been excellent.
Excellent. Callahan says he's incredible. I said excellent. He said excellent. Excellent.
So
a miracle and incredible, excellent.
So this is annoying me now because yeah, I was
it
fine.
Should.
I was
it should, Keith.
And it does. And I was fine with the he's good enough and this is what it's going to be and like let's move on. Like we both wanted Drake May, didn't get Drake May.
Yeah.
So you're like, all right, don't turn it over and let's move on. But so he hasn't turned it over. That's a fact. You can't argue around that. But like this success rate stuff and all the like is he really? Is he a quarterback that is going to score points for this offense consistently? No. They're cherry-picking certain stats.
Thank you. That's what I was just going to say.
The QBR is this. All right, what's the QB rating? Well, I don't use QB rating because that's, you know, touchdowns help. He's like 23rd or whatever in QB rating.
Yeah.
And like, oh, he's only taken four sacks. Well, one of them cost him the game against Seattle.
It was a big one.
That was a massive, like, you can't overlook that. That was a 9-yard sack. And, you know, maybe Drake May takes that sack. Maybe he doesn't. We don't know. All I do know is that Jacoby Brissett is the veteran, quote unquote, smart quarterback that's been there, done that. So he should have avoided that, given them a better chance to kick that field goal late in the fourth quarter, and he didn't do it. So I'm good with, hey, he's good enough or maybe better than expected, but not like he's not incredible. He's not excellent, and he's not. It's not a miracle, the stuff that he's done.
Right. So, like, what is this? What is this overcompensation the beat writers about Jacoby Brissett? Is it just he's a nice guy?
He is a nice guy.
You know? A nice guy. Don't want him anywhere near the football field.
You know where nice guys finish?
Last
place.
It's true.
Last place.
We know it all.
Just give it time.
All too well. And right. So when it comes to, you know, Jacoby Brissett, if you want to tell me that, okay, he's been better than you expected, as you just said, fine. I'll allow for that. If you want to tell me that, well, he's just keeping the seat warm for Drake May, also fine.
Sure.
Excellent, miracle, incredible, far too much. I don't want to go full Kuiper on you here, Keith.
Oh, get rid of the two high safeties? That's what's killing him?
With, like, the old school stats. Yeah. But we're getting, oh, where is he in EPA per play? Where is he in QBR?
QBR, he's high. QB rating, low.
Where is he in touchdowns?
He has one.
Tied for 22nd with one. That's fewer than, to cherry pick, Daniel Jones.
Danny Dimes.
Gardner Minshew.
Minshew's good, though.
You know, never mind Derek Carr and Baker Mayfield leading the league.
Do you know where he is in completion percentage?
Oh, I was just going to look that up. Where is he in completion
25th.
Percentage? 25th.
Below Bo Pix. He's just below Bo Pix.
Let's see yards.
And Will Levis. Will Levis has completed a higher percentage of passes than Jacoby Brissett.
Yards, he's 29th. So, like,
29th?
That's incredible.
it's a miracle.
That's a miracle. Like,
who's
that,
thrown less?
I mean, it's, oh
Caleb
yards?
Williams, Bryce Young, who's been benched.
Jordan Love played one game.
I was going to say, nobody who has started both, the only guy who has played both games that has fewer passing yards is Caleb Williams, and it's by 3.
Well, and Bryce Young.
Oh, right.
Bryce Young has been benched.
Yeah, right, so two guys, one of them has been benched.
One guy lost his job, and the only guy who still has his job,
got it,
is Caleb Williams.
Awesome.
Would anybody say Caleb Williams has been incredible?
No, he's been off to a real slow start.
A miracle.
No, he's not been a miracle.
Okay, excellent.
None of that.
I wouldn't use those words.
No, I wouldn't use those words for him.
So what is this? What is this overcompensation?
People love Brissett.
For Jacoby Brissett. Maybe it's just he's a nice guy.
Killing him with kindness. Right, you catch more flies with honey. That's sort of, you subscribe to that at all.
You don't want to be a Vic Vinegar.
Because you're in there, and he's a nice guy, right? He answers your questions, and then you're like, I got to go home and write something. I'm like, am I going to say he sucks? No. What if he reads it? He's a nice guy. I don't want to make him feel bad.
It's true.
It's a miracle that he's been able to have this kind of success.
Incredible.
Holy mackerel. Imagine if they went 2-0. He'd be in the Hall of Fame.
Imagine if he threw for 200 yards. What would these guys say?
No, let's not go crazy. Like, a good one. We did this last week.
Imagine if he threw for 200 yards and, like, a touchdown.
You're getting a little slappy
now. I mean, they've run out of adjectives to even give to him.
What is the over-under for tonight's passing yards? What should we set it at? Actually, we could probably look up what the real one is, right? We can come up with our own because that's fun.
Okay, I might take what the real one is, but...
What would you handicap it if it was the Adam Jones Sportsbook?
150.
150 is a good number. It was 149 last week, I believe, wasn't it?
That sounds right, yeah.
All right, let me find.
And that's just like it's a very, very, very pedestrian
165
number.
And a half this week.
Okay, so we're taking
I see 166 and a half on the Sportsbook Rhode Island app right now.
Either way, under? Like, I'm not taking the over on that.
Way under.
Yeah.
Way under. Now, I'd seek an alternate line.
No, but here's part of the reason why. Yeah, go seek an alternate line for sure. Here's part of the reason why.
Yeah.
I think they're going to win. So I don't think they need to throw.
Right. Like, big run game.
If you told me that's the number against the Niners, I might take the over because they're probably going to be so far behind they're going to have to throw.
Still, they might not hit
the over. Okay, they might not. You get the logic?
175 yards is plus money.
Yeah,
175 yards is plus money.
Wouldn't touch
it. That's a funny way of putting it, though.
Wouldn't touch it, yeah.
It's an NFL game.
So, like, again, Tom
Curran. 2024. This ain't Burnt Jones.
Tom Curran, who will be on WEEI Afternoons today.
That's right.
Who we talk to every week, who I love.
Tommy Tuesdays
here on Jones and Keefe. I love Curran. But, like, what adjective do you move to if he actually has a good passing game? Andrew Callahan, who I'm also a fan of.
Yeah.
What are you going to refer to Jacoby Brissett at? You already used miracle, excellent, and incredible.
Tom Brady-esque.
Brady-esque.
Brady-esque. That's probably the highest form.
Future Hall of Famer. Jacoby, he throws for 200 yards and a touchdown. He's a future Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Like, what are you going to do with
that? They're going to waive the 5-year minimum, put him in this year.
Let me give you one more with Callahan. And he said this on TV. He didn't quite say that in the Pats Interference podcast, but I heard him say this on BST the other night. He said he wouldn't play Drake May, which he said in the clip. So he was asked, all right, fine, well, then what do? If Jacoby Brissett gets hurt, he says, play Joe Milton.
That's not fair to the rest of the team. No, you can't do it. Like, I'm all for Joe Milton. I love the fact that he can throw the ball further than anybody. He should get in a Vortex commercial, throw the ball out over the mountains.
Kuiper must love him.
Kuiper must love him.
He must be Kuiper's favorite quarterback.
So,
since Burt Jones.
Do you remember in the first preseason game where he scooted around a little bit, made a couple throws?
Do I remember?
Do you remember the other two?
Not as well.
Okay. Well, go ahead and dust those off and take a look at what Joe Milton looked like in those games. Like, he's a fun prospect. He deserves to be on the roster over, like, Bailey Zappi. At least there's some sort of upside there. But if you don't think Drake May's ready to play, there's zero chance Joe Milton's ready to play.
But to me, it's not even about Milton. It's like, are you nanas won't play Drake May?
They're terrified to play Drake May.
Guys, you can play him.
Like, they need all pros everywhere else on offense before you can play Drake May, apparently.
Yeah, and like, what do you expect?
I don't know.
What do you expect? If he can't play when the starter before him is hurt, where you got to throw Joe Milton out there, then you must think this guy can never get on a football
field. Well, Gerard Mayo already made it very clear that he's the backup.
Football's too violent for you. Like, nanas. Football's too violent for you. It's a violent sport.
It's true.
You can't play him in bubble wrap.
You could get him killed.
Right. And it's okay.
It's like, what?
Fine. You're going to have to cross that bridge. He's going to have to play in a game. He's going to
run for his life out there.
He's going to get hit at some point, you nanas. So get him out there.
It's like, very strange.
I am not playing Joe Milton over him.
No. Well, so you can't, right? Because, you know, David Andrews and Ramondre Stevenson and Hunter Henry can't say, really? And you're giving 30% of the snaps. So if you're giving 70% to Brissett and 30% to Drake May, what does that leave for Joe Milton so far? I'll do it for you. 0%. 0%. So you're not getting him ready. You don't want him to take over at any point. And he's also not the backup quarterback, Gerard Mayo. I forget if it was here with the Greg Hill show or if it was...
No, it was with Greg. He said Drake May is the backup.
Yeah, because they were like, what if he gets hurt?
Unequivocally, he's the backup. Right, he was asked about that scenario.
So there you go. And I know Callahan's not saying that he didn't say that. He's just saying that that's who he would put in.
He wouldn't do that.
No, yeah. I wouldn't do that. I think you'd have a stronger argument if they somehow still had Bailey Zappi on the rosters, right? Like, I wouldn't agree with it, but I would get it. Be like, all right, if you want to go veteran, and you're just, the plan is to redshirt Drake May, then yeah, you would stick to your plan. But that's not it. They have two rookies that are backups currently.
That's not it at all. Right. No. If you had Ryan Tannehill is a popular name. It, you know, if you had him, well, then fine. I would get that a little bit more. Drake May?
No.
I'm sorry.
I mean, Joe Milton?
Joe Milton, please.
Sorry. Right, not happening.
Let's go to the phones. Brandon is in Boston.
Brandon.
Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So, you know, I think Drake May can play because this team reminds me a lot of last year, depending heavy on their running game and not taking no type of attempts down the field, you know. So if they're going to do that, why not play Drake May? But I think that, you know, the Patriots are going to get crushed by Aaron Rodgers. I think it's going to be a 31-17 type of game. I think he's going to go for 300-plus yards. That secondary's putrid. Seeing what Geno Smith did, and Aaron Rodgers is a wizard on the field. So you're going to see a lot of, strikes down the field in attacking that secondary.
Well, Brandon, if he
does
that,
ugly. I think tonight's going to be real ugly for them.
Okay, we'll see who's right. I mean,
I like Rodgers, but not that much.
Aaron Rodgers has done that in his career. He hasn't done that this year. He hasn't done that as a Jet.
He hasn't thrown for 300 yards since 2021.
He's barely thrown for 300 yards combining the two games.
Yeah, this season, right?
Yeah.
No, he's in the Brissett realm.
So look, if Brandon's right, I mean, call back and take a victory lap if you're right about this. I don't see that happening. I am with him on, I don't love the way the secondary's played aside from Christian Gonzalez.
Geno Smith looked way too good.
Too good.
To have a lot of confidence in the secondary now.
I am complimentary of Gonzalez, and his individual numbers on Ja'Marr Chase and DK Metcalf were very, very good through 2 weeks. But he was also involved in that broken play, which was probably more Duggar's fault than him, but he was still one of the two players directly involved in it. So plays have happened on his watch, and I don't feel great about the rest of the secondary, basically because Geno Smith just carved him up. And I don't think there's a big difference between Geno and Aaron Rodgers these days. I don't. But I still didn't expect...
Geno's good.
I didn't expect Geno Smith to do that.
No, it was too easy for him.
Yeah.
You know, like, I forget what his completion percentage was, but it was through the roof. You had two guys that have monster games, right? Because one of the things that secondaries kind of, you know, puff their chests out about is how many 100-yard receivers they allow over the course of a season.
There were two in the same game?
Two in a game.
So, like, right, if Smith and Jigba just killed you, but you kept DK Metcalf and Lockett in check, we'd go, all right, well, that was a game plan thing. They let Smith and Jigba get the easy throws over the middle.
Two guys dominated.
Yeah. Gino, by the way, 33 out of 44.
That's pretty great.
Jillian's in Chelmsford. Go ahead, Jillian.
Yeah, I just want to say I think it makes sense bringing Brissett in, and I'll explain why. To me, there's this one stat I heard is Brissett's turnover ratio is actually really, really, really good.
For his career,
I think it's second only to Aaron Rodgers for someone who's playing in the league right now. And that's kind of, you have a situation with a bad O-line, not good receivers. He's getting about a second or two to get that ball off, and he still has no interceptions. I think that if you put Drake May in there right now as a brand new quarterback, you can expect some interceptions, some bad choices and decisions. He's not used to being in the pros.
So, Jillian, I get that. Jillian, I get that.
Would we be at right now?
Okay, well, I understand that. But Brissett's also making zero plays.
No, so I think it's you have to weigh that.
And we've referenced that number before. His 1.4. His 1.4 interception percentage is the all-time NFL record
with Rodgers. Probably the same one.
I mean, I'm looking at Pro Football Reference right now. Okay. Maybe he knows Rodgers
is also 1.4. Maybe it's like decimals, but Rodgers. I'm looking at Rodgers.
Okay,
Rodgers is also 1.4.
Okay, I just see,
but whatever.
It's gold.
It's gold too.
Wow. Okay. So they're tied. So they're matched.
Which hey, so
Jacoby Brissett has nothing on any of his Football Reference page, and then there's just a gold right in the middle for interception percentage, but Rodgers. Even still, makes some.
But Rodgers throws 40 touchdowns, 30 touchdowns, and like very few picks. So, yeah, it's one that we bring up the analogy too. Like, oh, the guy never strikes out. No home runs ever, but he doesn't strike out. And you're like, all right, well, you got to kind of swing it a little bit.
What do you do?
So, yeah, they have to weigh that. And if the defense is really, really good, maybe you can get away with it. If the defense is not as good and you need to put up points on the board, give me the guy that might throw a pick or two every once in a while, but also has the capability of throwing 300 yards, two or three touchdowns, which I don't think you're ever going to see with Brissett.
So we've said this before. It's just there's a wider range of outcomes with May. You might have a four interception game where you get smoked. And then you might have a three-touchdown game where you're throwing it all over the field.
You're doing the smoking.
Your wide receivers, you're the one doing the smoking.
That's right.
The wide receivers are actually involved in the offense. Because Brissett is not throwing interceptions. He's also not throwing to the wide receivers. And that is problematic.
No. He's just throwing to Hunter Henry? Hunter Henry.
At least to me, it's problematic. Yeah. Jillian and Chelmsford doesn't feel that way.
Nope.
And look, I mean, Curran, Callahan, she's not alone. He's been excellent.
But there's a big difference to me.
Incredible.
Like,
it's a miracle what he's done.
But Jillian wasn't going that far. Like, Jillian's like, hey, he's not turning over, leave him in. Okay.
That's
if that's what you say, reasonable.
Yeah.
Great.
That's reasonable.
That's how you feel, fine. But you don't need to turn the guy into Joe Montana just because, you know, he's a little bit better than you expected.
And, you know, far be it from me to tell Tommy Curran or Andrew Callahan how to do their jobs. But save a few adjectives.
Mm-hmm.
Keep a few in the back pocket. Because if he ever has a good game, how are you going to refer to Jacoby Brissett? You've already broken the scale. 617-779-7937. Speaking of broken, there was a big story broken yesterday here.
Sure was.
On Jones and Keefe. A scoop, if you will.
That's right.
Let's revisit the Greg Hill Show this morning. The cocoa bomb that fizzled out. She discussed it today. We'll revisit next.
It's time for Misleading.
You've heard the leads on the Greg Hill Show. You've heard these?
Of course I have.
I don't think they lead well.
Would you have gone with Shimes over yours?
Damn, I don't even remember what mine's was, so.
On Jones and Keith.
Oh, so real quick, Wiggy was in Florida today.
Yep.
So if you're watching the show on Twitch, he was on the show. He was just doing it remotely. And there's something here. So apparently he's at like a signing, right? This is what he was telling everybody?
Like a card show or something like that?
Yeah, like
he's signing memorabilia.
He's a Super Bowl champ. He's the MVP of the Snow Bowl.
I was going to say, maybe it's stuff from memorabilia from the Snow Bowl where he was instrumental in that win.
So nobody can find any like advertising for this anywhere. I think he was catfished.
He said he hasn't seen any other players around.
He said there's no players there. I think Curtis said he was like looking for, I don't know, like a website about it or like a link or something.
Yeah, Chris said he couldn't find anything.
Nothing. So is he going to actually sign autographs, or did he just decide to go to Miami for a couple days?
Well, so this is what I was going to say. So do you think...
Smart like a fox.
Do you think Wiggy was like, I got a card show, I got to go sign memorabilia?
And they're like, sure.
Or do you think somebody catfished Wiggy and said, hey, there's a card show, will he do it?
It might be that second thing.
Could be Matt Light. Yeah. Matt Light pulling his hijinks.
So could be Matt Light. Yeah, could be somebody. Yeah. Or Rob Ninkovich doing a fake voice. It's possible. So I don't know.
Hey, I'm the memorabilia guy.
Hi.
I'm Matt Life.
Hi, hey, it's what's me, up, the guy? Memorabilia guy.
It's possible. So I'm leaving the door open for that. So I'm all ears tomorrow to see what Wiggy has to say. And then on Monday to be like, what happened? Well, did you beat anybody there?
We are always all ears listening to the Greg Hill Show. We revisit every day on Misleading here on Jones and Keefe. A lot of talk on the Bruins goalies. They've signed a new goalie, by the way.
Yeah, they got a new goalie in town. On a tryout.
Casimir.
Good luck with that last name.
Kaskasuo?
All right.
It's a Swedish.
Remember Scott Kazmir? He's a player.
Oh, Scott Kazmir.
Scott Kazmir could pitch.
Lefty?
Guy. Yeah, little guy. Put him in your pocket. Oh, yeah. Through heat, though.
Wow.
Kazmir is nice.
Let me tell you, this Kaskusko guy, is he Finnish or Swedish?
Well,
6'3".
6'3"?
Yeah, how about that?
Way bigger than Scott Kazmir.
So the Bruins are signing goalies. And, I guess probably some people wish they knew that was in the hopper here.
They're not signing all goalies.
No, not Jeremy Swayman.
No.
So if you missed the last 24 hours here on WEEI.
It's been busy.
30 hours on WEEI. Let's catch you up to speed real quick.
I was told a deal is done.
Done.
Wow.
Done. Oh, done.
Yes.
Okay. So how's your sourcing on this?
The sourcing is good.
What, is it solo sourcing? Do we have a backup? What's the...
Two sources.
Two sources. Wow. Cocoa bomb.
Rich Keefe might have to step aside after this one.
I was told deal is done.
Okay.
Wow.
Are you ready for a scoop-off?
We might have ourselves an old-fashioned scoop-off. Kind of hearing the opposite. A deal has not been done, from what I understand. They're going to begin camp without him. So I told you that the Swayman asked for 10.
Asked for or demanded?
Asked for.
Asked for.
Asked for. It's a negotiation, Jones.
He didn't demand it. Okay.
No, he asked for 10.
Interesting.
I don't believe the Bruins will go north of 8.
We're out there this morning that it was a done deal with Swayman. That's obviously not true, not correct.
It's 100% inaccurate.
Okay. Well, no gray area there from Don Sweeney.
No, pretty clear. Kind of put that to bed.
Yeah.
And so, listen, it's not for everybody. The Scoops game.
Oh, the Scoops game.
It's rough, not.
Roughing them Scoop streets out there.
Especially when it can be disproven immediately. Almost immediately.
Well, the unfortunate thing that happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Among many unfortunate things. The unfortunate thing that happened is we didn't know Courtney had a well, it turns out didn't have a scoop, but thought she had a scoop.
Correct.
We didn't know that. And
no,
so,
that, they threw a curveball at us because the night before I was texting you guys, and I was like, hey,
I got a scoop for tomorrow, and unfortunately, they were conflicting scoops.
They were.
Scoop-off.
So I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Haven't really come face-to-face in a scoop-off before.
And, like, really,
yeah.
Really, the stakes are very high. It's a crossover every day. We're on right after them. I mean, if it could have gone differently.
She was the bigger woman, though, today. Again, a petite-sized woman, but the bigger woman in stature.
Yeah.
No, not stature. Yeah. That works, right? No,
stature
that's not
is
what
you're
I
saying
meant.
She's not. It's not stature.
She's petite, but she was, in this moment, she was very, very big. And so she shook my hand.
That's it.
She did. Yeah.
I missed that.
Because I, for one, let me make it very clear.
Yeah.
I don't scoop shame.
We deal with that on a daily basis. Scoop shame on this program. No.
And
she's petite with BBW takes.
That's right. That's true. So she also, I would stand by her Celtic Sail scoop, right? Or Cocoa Bomb?
Yeah.
Although you hear the Cocoa Bomb they were playing today? Not as nice.
I heard it maybe once or twice.
Yeah, it was not as nice. But so they played that a few times today. But listen, it happens. I mean, it hasn't happened to me yet, but I'm sure for some it does happen.
Yeah. But
so that was the Cocoa Bomb.
I heard that a couple of times.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah.
But you kind of hold your head up high and move on.
It was double digits, but I heard it.
You go on to the next one.
Yeah.
You go on to the next scoop.
Yeah. And well, here's what I'll say to Courtney. Yeah. Number one, the report was wrong, but she at least reported something. She didn't do this dabbling like a fraidy cat.
That's obnoxious.
Oh, yeah. It's coming soonish.
Heard something soonish.
Something with the Bruins is
heard
coming
what?
Soonish.
Heard what?
So like at least she had a report. It was wrong, but at least she had the gumption and the wherewithal to go through with
like
it.
Like the weaselly thing.
Yeah.
Which is I'm going to word it in a way where I can take credit if it's right, but then I can run away from it if it's wrong.
And number two, I don't get the sense that she or that show is shaming other scoops. Like, there's a lot of scoop shaming going on.
They take ours and
towards
they go with
Scoops Keefe specifically. There's a lot of scoop shaming going on.
It's not nice.
And that's what I don't appreciate about the whole nature yesterday. It's like you hear a lot of people are like,
Nothing to worry about with Swayman. He'll be here. Don't worry about it. It's going to happen soon.
The soon-ish. GM said December 1st.
Okay, but I'm saying leading into yesterday.
No, I know, leading into it. You're
like,
right. You're right.
No matter what, Courtney firmly reported something that turned out not to be true. Right. Fine. Yep, okay, yep. She got it wrong. It happens.
It happens.
But there's a lot of people who said nothing to see here, nothing to worry about. It's totally not asking for 10. It's good between Swayman and the team. He's going to be here.
They're signing other goalies today.
And they're shaming the scoop. There's a lot of people doing that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even nationally, not just here in Boston, right. Nationally. And like Rich is like, well, no, he wants 10. And no, he's not going to be here.
There's
and
no way.
I don't think it's close. Oh, those good vibes, positive vibes you're talking about?
Positive vibes.
Darren Dreger said positive vibes yesterday.
Yeah.
Did any of that sound positive?
No.
And so Keith is here to tell you.
Yeah.
It's not close. It's not good. And meanwhile, everybody else is like, nah, it'll get done. It'll happen. It'll happen. So like everybody else really not that different than Courtney and her report. And people are like taking victory laps on her and WEEI today, which is insane.
It is weird.
That's insane to me.
I agree. Yeah. Like, oh, you can't listen to EEI. It's like, well,
okay. I listen to the entire Bruins beat that said,
no.
Well,
no.
First of all, Keith, you're right.
No, I am.
But okay. So the entire Bruins beat is like dumping on Courtney today. And they've all been saying, it's close. Don't worry about it. Nothing to see here.
No, a month ago.
That's fraudulent.
It is. 100% it is. Because a month ago, I think it was a month ago, when we had the $10 million ask, and everyone said, no, that's crazy. But then what they also said is, well, it's a lot closer than people think. All right, that was a month ago. So even in some miracle, if he signs tomorrow, it was already wrong. You can't say soonish, or you can't say positive vibes, and you can't say and have it drag on for over a month and missing training camp practices.
How about every Bruins beat writer? Oh, it's going to happen. Is it?
All right.
You're still saying that?
Let me know when.
Are you still saying it's going to? Because the GM came out and said December 1st.
And he was pissed.
And he also said
He
seemed pissed.
Yeah.
And he also said we're going to find a landing spot.
Well, they also signed another goalie today.
So you know, if they trade him, it's still getting done. You're positive it's still getting done. That's all I heard from
every single
Bruins beat. It'll get done. They're not that far apart.
Okay.
Positive vibes. So like the victory.
You know what's even worse? Because they're not going to listen to you, Jones. They should. But in 2 weeks from now, let's say 2 weeks he signs.
Yeah.
Let's just say hypothetically 2 weeks he signs.
Told you.
We're going to get a told you so. We're going to get a big told you so. And we're gonna be like, that doesn't count. You don't get credit for that.
And Courtney won't get any credit for anything.
No.
And so it's like, look, I give you a lot of credit. You're not dumping all over Courtney today.
Nope.
A lot of people are.
Nope.
And a lot of them were saying the same thing she said. She just said it more firmly than other people and
Correct.
Actually went with a report instead of pussyfooted around it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, but a lot of people are dumping on her today. I don't think it's fair because I think a lot of those people have said the same things.
Yeah. Check your tweets and your articles and whatever else, your podcasts, all that stuff.
Now, Keith was right.
Well, yeah.
And I don't see a lot of people telling Keith he was right.
Nobody.
Keith, I'll do it. You were right.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Courtney did as well. So
no, and Courtney,
fine. That's all I need. That's all. I'm good.
Credit there. But they're
waiting on the NHL Network.
A lot of people on the Bruins beat. It'll get done. Will it? That's been your reporting. So look yourselves in the mirror. Anyway, that's misleading here on Jones and Keefe. 617-779-7937. Let's get back into Pat's Jets. We have a lot to get to today. Keefe's keys.
Game night.
Comes your way a little over an hour from now. Not going to want to miss it. God, I didn't get a new set of keys, Keith, unfortunately.
In the back. Look, I'll be ready when the time comes.
Make sure you get those before 1 o'clock.
I'll be ready.
We also have a four-pack of questions for Patriots and Jets coming your way at 12:20. We'll get back to all our thoughts next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends.
Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty. It's the flex and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.